Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. He's Michael Lombardi out at his office in Ocean City. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. And usually we start the Monday show with the hi, how are you doings? How was the weekend? But we have to get into the news because we have a major bag alert today. Michael Lombardi, Justin Jefferson has officially become the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. What'd you make of the news when it came across your timeline?
Well, you know, I'm not sure it's true. Like, I saw on Sports Tech the numbers that came in, and it's 4 years of $140 million of new money. It's 5 years of $159.7 million total, okay? And that's just a slightly – when you add those numbers and average it out, it comes under 32, which A.J. Brown's at 32. So regardless of whether he's the highest paid non-quarterback, I mean – the deal looks like, oh, it's $35 million a year. I'm not sure it does based on what I'm learning from Sports Tech. But nonetheless, look, it's a wonderful deal for Justin Jefferson. They get him under contract. He's got 5 years. His cap number is just modestly $8.5 million this year, $15.3 million next year. Not too bad. He got a lot of guaranteed cash, $88.7 million guaranteed upon signing. So that's good. And the Wolf family and the Vikings organization put their money where their mouth is in terms of getting him under contract. Whether it's $31.7 million per year or if it's $35, which I don't think it is based on the numbers I'm looking at, it's still a hell of a deal. But if it's below A.J. Brown or just right there, then all of a sudden all the yelling from Tyreek Hill, who I predicted this was going to happen this morning. I mean, don't answer that telephone in Miami. You know who's calling. Hello, I'm Drew Rosenhaus. I'm calling for Tyreek Hill. How you doing today? You know, so, and then CeeDee Lamb, you know, Brandon Ayuk, I think, is uniquely different because he hasn't put together years to qualify, but certainly he's a good player.
So let's go into that because you bring up the numbers right off the top immediately. And I think this goes back to a guy like Tyreek Hill, who he's got $30 million a year, but that's kind of a fugazi $30 million a year too because of the way that the dollars and cents shake out and the verbiage and the contract and incentives and all of that. Like, how do these numbers come out to where everybody's saying, this is the dollar amount, this is the guarantee, and it's $35 million average annual value, but that's not the reality? Is this just agents trying to, like, pump up the contracts that they're getting their players?
Absolutely. Like, they count like the year, like that he had one more year left on a deal. And so what you count is what is the new money, right? What is the new money? So what's the practicality of the new money? And it's 125.7 over 4 years. He was going to earn the contract anyway. Now, if you want to add that contract in, it's 5 years, $159.7 million. If you do the math on 5 years, $159.7, it comes out to just slightly below $32 million per year. I don't know how else to do it. Like, but they do these things to kind of, because of next year, they don't want to get embarrassed. Now, as Tyreek Hill, he's due to make $19 million this year. He has a $100,000 workout bonus, and he's got another $250,000 in some other workout. Okay, but, you know, and then he's got two more years under contract. The last year, 26, is really avoidable year at $43.9 million base salary. So you know they're going to do something. But next year, he only goes up to 21. So the next 2 years, he basically is averaging $20 million per year. Okay, but they've got so much. His cap number's $31 million this year. And then next year it goes to 34, and the year after it goes to 56. So, look, they can guarantee his 19.6. That's no problem. But all of a sudden, it just makes the cap number in future years go up.
So we'll push this forward and continue talking a little bit later on about the ripple effects that this is going to have with other wide receivers. But to stick on the Viking side of it, first and foremost, with Justin Jefferson getting paid, like, we all expected and knew that when he got a deal, it would be that market resetter type deal. How much does this make sense with the Vikings now that they do have a quarterback under a rookie contract in J.J. McCarthy? And how much with paying Justin Jefferson are you banking on the fact that you made the right choice with J.J. that you'll get the most out of that contract to have this deal done?
Well, it gives them time. I mean, J.J.'s contract will be 4 years plus the fifth year option. This is a new contract that extends over – you know, it extends over the same length. So 24 is the rookie deal for McCarthy, right? And 28 will be the option year for McCarthy, which is the last year of Jefferson's deal. And Jefferson probably at that point, at 2028, you know, he'll probably be towards the end of his career, and it'll be time to pay McCarthy and add a young receiver. So they'll just keep doing that cycle, right? McCarthy's good, pay him, better draft a young player, right? But now they have the luxury to sign a quarterback at sign a non-quarterback at a quarterback kind of deal and let the young quarterback grow into his deal.
Okay. For ESPN's Field Yates posted this on X this morning. 5 of 8 highest paid non-quarterbacks now are wide receivers. Is the league properly viewing this position? And something that producer Elliot Bowman and I were talking about before the show as well, especially when you think about a Tyreek Hill situation, the potential for the Cincinnati Bengals and their quarterback wide receiver combinations. Can you pay a quarterback $50 million plus dollars and have a wide receiver that's making 30 plus and still expect to go and win Super Bowls and have enough to share the pie with everybody else on the team and build your roster up? Like, what is your general thought on the value of the wide receiver position right now and how it's risen?
Well, let's look at the last 10 years in the league. New England went to 4 Super Bowls, won 3. The Chiefs went to 4 Super Bowls, won 3. The Chiefs won 1 Super Bowl paying a young quarter, paying a receiver, and they decided they've won 2 more without paying. The Patriots never really paid a receiver. You know, they paid Edelman, but they never really paid at this level. So the answer to your question is it's not been really done, and it won't get done. Now, the Rams did. We know that with Cooper Kupp. We know they paid Stafford, and they paid Aaron Donald, and then they had a bunch of other guys in there. They got away with it for 1 year, and then it tore itself down. So it's not sustainable is the answer to the question. Mm-hmm. I think, to me, the biggest winner of all this, Stormy, the guy smiling the brightest, is not CeeDee Lamb. It's Micah Parsons. Because for all the talk about offensive skill players and the top players, these receivers being the highest paid non-quarterbacks, the guy that can sack the quarterback, like Nick Bosa, like Micah Parsons, they're going to get paid. And this just helps him. This just helps him. The question, would you trade Jefferson for Parsons? You're thinking about it, right? You're going to think about that one. Would you trade Jefferson for would you trade Parsons for Tyreek Hill? You're thinking about that, right? And so the money's going to be there, if not more. How about Nick Bosa for Hill? Think about it, right? Yeah. So I think, to me, these defensive players that can dominate a game and take over a game, especially in the defensive front, are going to get paid.
So I'm glad that you went down the Cowboys route, because CeeDee Lamb, of course, is the next big name that everybody's thinking about. Now that you know that the market is set with Justin Jefferson, you know what A.J. Brown is making, you imagine CeeDee Lamb's going to be between that 32 and 35, if that's the range that we're still talking about, at least on paper and what's outwardly being reported. But the Micah Parsons element of it is also very interesting, and neither one of these players were showing up at Cowboys OTA's minicamp gets underway for the Cowboys tomorrow. Who's going to be there, who's not, is a big question on a lot of people's minds. I know those two are stepping into the office a little bit later on in the show, but I'm curious from your standpoint, like, would you be at OTAs right now if you're trying to get this deal done? And to follow that up, is Dak the odd man out in this situation? Because it seems to me like he's not going to be getting a deal done.
That's the great question. I said that today on my pod. I thought, is Dak could be the odd man out? I mean, because he's getting into land where it's really expensive. You want to pay Lamb. You want to pay. You have to. Parsons, the guy you have to pay first for me. Now, the trend of the league is to pay receivers. I don't understand it, but that's the trend. We haven't seen a receiver take a team to a Super Bowl. Randy Moss is incredible, but he never took a team himself to a Super Bowl. He went to one with the Patriots. Is anybody better than Randy Moss? I mean, Jerry Rice was incredible, but his team was also good. It was non-cap as much as anything. But still, I think, to me, you know, Dak's got to be the one a little bit worried, because he keeps his number. I'm sure Dak's thinking, I'm going to get 60. Because Tua's sitting back there saying, well, okay, now that you paid, I'm going to get 55. So how do you pay Tua 55, paying Hill 30-plus, and Waddle 28? What's left for anybody else? I think it's really hard. And I think the Cowboys, probably the order should be Parsons, Lamb, Dak.
Yeah, and it's you mentioned the cap, and obviously we know the cap keeps going up, and so you think, oh, that means more money to go around, and it's like, no, it just means more money is going to the players that need the bigger contracts. It's not like that's being dispersed in a different way. And I like that you brought up wide receiver specifically, because Randy Moss, yes, you think about Cooper Kupp, as you mentioned, with the Super Bowl, maybe Mike Evans with the Bucks when they won their Super Bowl, highly paid players. But you look at the receivers that got extensions done this offseason: Jefferson, Jalen Waddle, Nico Collins, Amon-Ra St. Brown, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Michael Pittman, still to come potentially, CeeDee Lamb, Jamar Chase, Brandon Ayuk, Amari Cooper, T. Higgins. What do all of these receivers have in common? That they haven't won a Super Bowl, right? Like, that's the thing that stands out here, is that they haven't done that. You have two players on this list who've played in one, I think. Yeah, three that have played in one but still haven't gotten there. So it's one of those things where you have to figure out how you're going to pay these guys and make everyone happy but still be able to build up your roster, because at the end of the day, everybody has the same ultimate goal, and that's to be a Super Bowl champion, and these wideouts haven't done that.
You're right, and you need depth on your team. I mean, you need depth on your team. Look, you need people that can put the ball in the end zone. There's no question about that. And Jefferson scored 30 touchdowns over his career. I mean, he's been really, really good. There's no denying his talent, and certainly he deserves it. I mean, the fact he, over his four-year career, he's got 260 first downs. He's averaged almost 100 yards per game. There's no question he deserves it. But they have the luxury with a rookie quarterback to do this.
Yes.
It's the same thing the Niners are dealing with. They can afford two high-priced receivers because they don't have a quarterback yet on a high payroll.
I don't think deserving at all is part of the question. You want to see the value of Justin Jefferson, look at the bank account of Kirk Cousins. We'll be right back. Plenty more news in the NFL to get into.
Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In addition to watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all the great betting tools and content at VSiN.com. We've got best bets from hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips and trends, weekly columns, and right now on the homepage, betting previews for both the NBA and Stanley Cup Finals. Have the Celtics met their match, or are they destined for a title? And will a team north of the border finally win a cup, or will the Panthers get redemption from last year's Game 5 loss in Vegas? Whether you're looking for series plays and props or game-by-game breakdowns as we go, VSiN.com has you covered. Welcome back in to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Time for news or noise. Run that open.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. Just noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
All right, Michael, we knew the Justin Jefferson headlines were newsworthy. That is the news of the day, of the week, of everything. But there's a lot of headlines out there that maybe not so much. Starting with this one that I'm curious your thoughts on. According to ESPN, New York Giants tight end Darren Waller is likely to make a decision by next week's mandatory minicamp about whether or not he will retire from the game. News or noise?
It's noise. I mean, he's already retired. I mean, he's 32 years old. He's played 28 games in the last 3 years. He's had 6 touchdowns in the last 3 years. His longest play, take a guess his longest play over last 3 years.
What is it? What is it?
31 yards. Woof. 31 yards. A Wolf is right. Buzz, your girlfriend. Wolf, right? I mean, like, seriously. Like, he's a great talent. He's a non-contact player. He'll look wonderful like he did this time last year in OTA days where there's no contact. But once it becomes a physical game, that's not Waller's game. He don't want to do that anymore. He wants to be a singer. I said it last year and got killed for it. Got destroyed for it, right? That's who he is. And so, like, don't, once a player goes down, oh, I'm thinking about retiring. You've retired. Mm-hmm. You've retired. Like, the reason this is we're still discussing is because they gave up a third-round pick for the guy for 52 catches and a 10.6-yard average, and that one touchdown, that was so good, right? They gave up a third-round pick for it.
Oh, man, some of these deals make you look back and just scratch your head. Absolutely. Darren Waller, of course, also, had a hamstring injuries each of the last 2 years as well. And you said it. He's moving on to his next career already. That music video was something. Okay, moving on. The 2024 NFL season kicks off in 94 days, but before teams take their final break before the late July training camps, we have mandatory mini camps upon us. 9 NFL teams holding mini camps this week. And while we've discussed in recent weeks the news and a lot of information that comes out of these OTA days, more noise than newsworthy. But how about now? Will the no-shows and reports from mandatory mini camp hold more weight?
Well, the guys that don't have contracts, obviously, you know, the franchise, it's only T. Higgins, right? Everybody else has a contract, and it's easy to miss. I think you get $1,500 a day to miss a minicamp. That's no big deal. But when you talk a serious cash come training camp, no, I don't think so. So it's all noise.
Okay.
It's all noise. Who cares? If you have a contract, okay. You know, you can maybe afford the $3,000 or the $4,500. It's not that hard, but when you start missing $50,000 a day, somebody's showing up. Trust me.
You're not letting that cash slip out of the pockets, no sir.
No.
The Eagles and Falcons have been under investigation for tampering since free agency due to the Saquon Barkley and Kirk Cousins acquisitions. According to Adam Schefter, the NFL is expected to resolve these cases soon and that the Falcons are expected to get it worse than the Eagles. News or noise?
Oh, I think it's news. And look, nobody's going to say that they could put together that deal as quickly as they did. Look, the Falcons have benefited from Kaiser Sose McKay being so wired to the league. I mean, they're pumping music into their stadium. Got caught for it, and they paid a fine. I mean, the Patriots didn't even deflate the balls and cost them $1 million in a first-round pick, and it was proven that it wasn't true. So they've been very fortunate. I don't think they can skirt this one. You can't put together this kind of deal this quickly without something going on beforehand. And we know that Minnesota was not going to go down the road, so somebody put it together quickly.
Yeah, by the way, one of my favorite lines from the roast of Tom Brady was at the end when he said, "You could have paid me millions of dollars and I would have told you I did it." So good. The Washington Commanders on Sunday night released kicker Brandon McManus. This comes 6 days after news broke of a lawsuit brought on by two flight attendants accusing McManus of sexual assault on a flight from Jacksonville to London in 2023. The Jags were sued as well. Now, I don't know whether this means the Commanders engaged in any type of investigation on their own or if this is an optics release. Given their team history, Michael, is this move with Washington news or noise as they try to usher in this new version of the Washington Commanders?
Well, I think you have to set Josh Harris, the new owner of the Washington Commanders or whatever we want to call them, has to have a standard of performance and acceptability. And obviously, when it comes to women on planes and drinking on airplanes and the things that we read about, there's no tolerance. It's a zero tolerance rule. And so, you know, I think Washington, if they're going to build the program, you are who you want to become. And if you accept it, that's who you are. And so I think they did the right thing. Now, McManus can claim he's innocent and all those things. But I think when you read some of the player comments that have come out since then, it doesn't look good for McManus. And he'll have his day in court.
Yeah, and I just think for this franchise specifically, given the transformational change that they're trying to have with this new ownership and new leadership from top to bottom, I don't blame them for essentially saying, hey, this guy's not good enough for us to have this type of a distraction on our hands. This is the new Commanders, right? Win total for Washington, 6.5. 8-1, a long third shot in the NFC East. The Buffalo Bills made a headline-worthy signing over the weekend. Is this news or noise? Buffalo bringing in Olympic gold medalist wrestler Gable Stevenson as a defensive tackle, something he has never done before in his athletic career. Michael, news or noise?
I think it's noise because, look, one thing about you cannot underestimate the level of instincts it takes to play defensive line. It's not a position of just sheer strength, power, and balance, which is, I'm sure Gable has all that, right? He's got strength. He's got great balance. You can't wrestle without great balance. And he's got lower body power. You have to have all those. But to play the defensive line in the NFL or at any level, you have to have really good instincts. You have to be able to read, diagnose, react quickly, transition your feet from run to pass. I think this would have been news if they would have said, we're going to make him an offensive lineman. Mm. Like, I think that's really where you've got a better chance, where you could teach him the fundamentals. It's not as instinctive as you need to be. You don't have to react. You have to block. When you're in a reaction position like defense, instincts take over, and you're born with it. You can't train instincts. There's too many defensive linemen that have been really good players, but they play what we call in sections. They step here, step there. You see it all the time in pass rushers. You wonder why a guy gets stuck on a block or why the guy isn't it. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. Walker from Jacksonville. He's a player. He plays Trayvon Walker. He plays in sections. He's not nearly as instinctive as Hutchinson. But if you went to work them both out, you'd say Walker's the better player. No, he's the better athlete. Hutchinson's the better player because he's instinctive. Walker's not.
I think it would be really cool if Gable came out here and was awesome and wreaked havoc and made the team and all these things. It feels a little bit gimmicky to me. Yeah. He, by the way, had never worn a pair of cleats, apparently, until his workout with the Buffalo Bills.
Good.
So not a good start. Not a good start. Let's close out this block, Michael, with today's edition of What's on Michael's Mind. I know something's weighing on your heart today.
Well, I mean, it's just the sad news that 52-year-old Larry Allen passed away today. The Dallas Cowboys issued a press release talking about the death of Larry Allen, one of the greatest offensive linemen that I've ever seen. You know, he went to Sonoma State up in Northern California. We were in Cleveland. Pat Hill, the former head coach of the Fresno State Bulldogs, was on our coaching staff. And Larry Allen was allegedly not able to get into a lot of schools. He was talented, but he couldn't pass the grading criteria to get into major colleges, so he went to Sonoma State. And his Wunderlich test score wasn't very good. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't the standard of most. So he got what we would say an M grade, which meant that we have to do more investigation on the mental. So we sent Pat Hill out there on a Monday, and he took Larry into a classroom and went over all the notes and went over all the plays that he was going to install, took him on the field, coached him up on it, and then came back Thursday to see how much he retained. Because that's essentially what you're doing in pro football is, can you learn it? Can you keep it? Can you retain it? And Larry did. And so that made him a really valuable draft pick. Now, he didn't go to the top of the second round. We should have taken him. Obviously, we made a mistake. And the Cowboys let Jimmy Johnson got a great, great Hall of Fame player who played with great physicality. And the beautiful thing about Larry, he could have played anywhere on the offensive line. He could have played center. He played left tackle. And he was a dominating offensive lineman who could run, who could really run. That's the thing most people don't understand about offensive linemen. Foot speed is so important because you have to get your second step on the ground to be a good lineman. And he was really good at that.
That combination of side and speed can be lethal. He also reportedly benched 700 pounds. Obviously, our thoughts and prayers and feelings are certainly with his family. Larry Allen sadly passing away at the age of 52 while on a family vacation in Mexico. No cause of death has yet been reported. But remembering the Hall of Famer here on the Lombardi Line, we're going to step aside when we come back. Sportsbook director Thomas Gable joins the show.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Act now and save big. For a limited time here on VSiN, you can get an annual subscription of VSiN Pro at an unbeatable price, usually $240 a year. You can now subscribe for just $199, and we're throwing in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro for less than 50 cents a day. With VSiN Pro access, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets, real-time betting splits, exclusive betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video content. Don't miss out. Head to vsin.com/subscribe now, but you need to use our promo code Lombardi to claim your discount and bonus month. This special deal won't last long. Go to vsin.com/subscribe today and use that promo code Lombardi on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back into the Lombardi Line. The NBA and Stanley Cup Finals are set. The Boston Celtics, a -210 favorite against the Dallas Mavericks. And in the NHL, the Florida Panthers, -130 against the underdog Oilers. To help us break it all down and a whole lot more, we welcome in Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata in Atlantic City. Joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. TG, let's start in the NBA. We all expected a new the Celtics would be here, and then there are the Mavs, who now for the first time in a long time, the Boston Celtics aren't going to have the best player on the court with what the Mavs are bringing. How are people playing this series early?
Yeah, it's been interesting because you've seen the series price. You just mentioned $2.10. I mean, series prices at various books open around $2.25. and you saw some movement there towards the Mavs, where now it's down to 210 in some spots. We kept it right at 225. In terms of our future book liability, we have a little bit on Boston, but we're in very good shape with Dallas. And really, that the Western Conference Finals there, that was such a huge decision for us. I mean, it was probably close to $500,000 swing between Dallas and Minnesota. So it certainly worked out to our favor. And the fact now that Minnesota got it done in five games, now they have a nice long rest period here, as Boston was enjoying as well. And while it certainly seemed to benefit Boston too, because now you have Porzingis coming back, who is such a huge piece that they were missing in their last couple playoff series. Now, obviously, Boston has had the quote-unquote easier path here to the finals. Maybe we haven't seen them necessarily challenged. They played a compromised Miami team without Jimmy Butler. They played a compromised Cleveland Cavaliers team. And even Indiana there was compromised, losing Halliburton after a couple games. And not to mention Indiana really kind of shooting themselves in the foot in a few games there and some poor coaching decisions. But so Boston, really, you can say, all right, they haven't been challenged yet in the playoffs. The Mavericks certainly should be up to the task to give them a series. And the one thing that we've seen from the Mavericks so far has been really since the trade deadline, that's really when this team came together and not only added key pieces like PJ Washington, but this is when their runs kind of started there in the regular season, right after the trade deadline, and it's carried through all the way to the playoffs. This team has really, really gelled well on both ends of the court. Defensively, they have really stepped up, and they are not the same defensive team that they were pre-trade deadline. So they've been excellent in the paint. And now the one thing with Boston, I will say, they have two big guys in Porzingis and even Al Horford that can both shoot the three pretty well for big guys. So they're going to be able to stretch a little bit and kind of draw Lively out of the paint. And we'll see kind of how the Mavericks do with that. But we talked a little bit about it last week on Monday when it looked like the Mavericks more or less were going to close out the series and get to the NBA Finals. I think the key thing here when you're looking at this series is, and if you're betting the series price, you know, if you believe that this series is going to be a tightly contested one, it comes down to who do you really trust in crunch time? Do you trust Luka and Kyrie, who have been tremendous in the fourth quarter and being able to really put the daggers in the hearts of their opponents? Or do you trust Brown and Tatum? And I think if we're going by recency bias, you're probably going to be leaning at Kyrie and Luka. The other piece to remember in all this now, while the game one has been up here for quite some time, Celtics are favored by 6.5. The home court advantage in the NBA isn't really what it has been, especially with these two teams. Both these teams have played very well on the road. The Celtics are more likely to lose at home. So if you like the Celtics, maybe you lay off betting that series price before game one. And if the Mavs can do it, you come back and can jump on Boston there on the series price and get a much better price. But really the home court advantage here in the NBA, especially with these two teams, hasn't really been there.
No question. All right. So where are you getting action on MVP? You know, I was shocked to see that, that it was actually close between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum for the MVP of the Eastern Finals. But are you getting a lot of action on Tatum to be the MVP of the series?
Yeah, I mean, typically it's always going to be the top guys, right? Like Luka is going to be by far, he's probably going to be the most popular play for individuals. And you could probably pretty much split the bet count there in Boston between Tatum and Brown. but I think Luka is just going to be the overwhelmingly most popular choice amongst bettors, just because, again, of how high a level he is playing at. I mean, when you take a look at what he is doing right now, you can say, all right, in the entire NBA right now, you could say, all right, Joker is probably the unquestioned best player in the league. But Luka right now is making a serious case to be number two there, right, with Giannis. I mean, you can use them interchangeably between two and three. That's how high of a level Luka is playing right now.
Let's switch gears to the Stanley Cup final. I'm sure as a bookmaker, you would have enjoyed getting a little more action with the Rangers around or another big market team like the Dallas Stars. But instead, we ultimately get the Oilers and Florida Panthers, a couple smaller markets. What do you anticipate the handle being with that in mind? And also, you do have at least a little bit of star power, though, with Connor McDavid playing in his first ever Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, I mean, for us, there's no doubt if the Rangers had gotten through, I mean, it probably would have been just off the charts with handle. Every single game in the Eastern Conference Finals with the Panthers was just there's so much Rangers money coming in. You know, outside of game one in that series where we took a very large Florida bet, almost every other game was significantly lopsided where we needed the Panthers and needed them big. And you know, from a game to game standpoint, yeah, it probably would have been much better for us if the Rangers had gotten through, but the Rangers were also our biggest liability well into the six figures for a Stanley Cup final. We're in good shape here with both of these teams. And if the Stars had gotten through, we were fine on our futures with them. But to your point, probably, you know, the two teams that are in here, you know, handle's probably going to suffer a little bit than had it been the Stars and the Rangers going at it. But it's still the Stanley Cup Finals. It's still going to be able to draw a pretty good handle on it. And again, from a future standpoint, we're looking pretty good for either outcome. You know, the series price right now, Panthers $1.25 favorites, and Game One, which isn't until June 8th. So you have, again, five more days here to possibly get in bets on it. Panthers at home laying $1.35, total 5.5 for game one.
Awesome.
Wow. Stormy, are you making a play here? Come on. What do you have cooking? I know you've been studying this hockey.
I haven't put anything down yet. I kind of do get the feeling that the Panthers get redemption from their loss against the Golden Knights last year. But then if you like the Oilers, and tell me if you think I'm right, TG, if you like the Oilers, don't you just bet Connor McDavid for Conn Smythe?
Yeah, I think you do. I think you do at this point. And to your point with the Panthers getting redemption, I will say, you know, it's somewhat of a rarity, I think, in pro sports now where you get a team that has gotten to the final the previous year and are actually better the next year. Because a lot of times, you know, contracts come up and, you know, you don't necessarily guys don't necessarily resign because they can get more money elsewhere. This Panthers team, I think, is better than last year's Panthers team that did get to the finals. So certainly, yes, they have a great opportunity here to redeem themselves.
TG, you're awesome. Thanks so much as always. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, TG.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata. Yeah, I haven't fired just yet. We'll see how I end up playing the whole thing.
I could tell by the way you asked the question. I could tell. I know where this is going.
I'm excited.
I know exactly where this is
how
going.
How can you not be?
Oh, I know you are. How can you not be? Are you disappointed? It's like, can you imagine the travel for these poor two
teams? Oh, it's going to be brutal.
Miami to, oh my God.
I do not envy the reporters that have to travel as well. We'll be right back, diving into the AFC next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time. Saddle up for action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when you use the promo code VSINHORSE. All one word, VSINHORSE. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement, wager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right inside the app. Download the DK Horse app now, just in time for the Belmont Stakes coming up this Saturday. We are back here on the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you. Earlier in the program, we did a little news or noise, and one topic we didn't get a chance to cover, Michael, I want to make sure I brought up with you today, yeah, because Dolphins QB1 Tua Tagovailoa held a promotional event this past Friday night. He took pictures with fans, and a video has gone viral of him having a different aesthetic, let's say. His hair is different, he's clean shaven, and he is noticeably thinner from the Tua we saw last year. Mike McDaniel did confirm recently, he said Tua lost 10 to 15 pounds from his playing weight last season, but you tell me, looking at the video, that looks like a lot more, does it not?
Looks like a little kid. Like, I don't even recognize him. I mean, I almost, when I saw this on Twitter, I had to make sure it was a legitimate right account. I thought it was a fraudulent account. Like, there's no way that looks like Tua. He's not going to hold up. He's not going to hold up looking like that. Whatever happened to the, we need to put more weight on him. He's a little kid there. He looks like he's 17 years old in that picture. I don't want him to get hurt, but he doesn't look like he's ready for football or has done any football activity. I would be scared to death to turn around and give him $50 million on a 5-year deal, looking like that body's nowhere near ready to handle the hits. I mean, show that video again, Elliot. I mean, look at this. You're betting this? We're a betting network. Like, I know we don't bet appearances and we're not a beauty contest, but I mean, geez, oh man, Stormy. Do you think he could take a hit? Look at this.
Well, and Michael, to your point,
what happened with this?
Last year, the big emphasis was he wanted to be bigger and bulkier, all the talk about being built to take a hit, the jujitsu and falling properly. And last year, he did make it through the whole season healthy, which is something we hadn't seen from Tua Tagovailoa. You talk about him getting paid, the slider frame. I don't know if I want to say, like, I'm concerned if I'm trying to bet the Miami Dolphins here, but I'd definitely be cautious. I would say that that's a little bit riskier given his frame. Yeah.
You know, if you read the JFK assassination as much as I do, there's a book out called Harvey and Lee where this guy makes a great case for a detailed research case that there's two Lee Oswalds, right? There was two sightings all over. I'm thinking that maybe there might be two Tuas. Like, that was the imposter there. Like, there might have been somebody else. Like, how is that? That doesn't even look like it. Does that look like any NFL quarterback you've ever seen in your life? Seriously. I'm not picking on the kid. I'm picking on what he looks like.
He's officially listed as 6'1", 227.
No way.
That's what I'm saying. He's sub 200. Like, there's no shot looking at that video. And
his waist size, he looks like a guy who stopped playing football. Now, I don't know what's going on in his life. There's a lot of things. Maybe he's going through some family issues, or I don't know, you know. But looking at that, there's more than meets the eye. Like, that's not, like, to me, if you're Chris Gere and you're seeing that, maybe you don't want to do the contract that quickly.
And it's interesting, too, because a lot has been made of, we heard reports before we actually physically saw Tua that Tua Tagovailoa and Lamar Jackson had both shedded weight this year with the expectation that it would increase their mobility that much more. Those are apples and oranges when it comes to Lamar Jackson and Tua Tagovailoa losing weight. Let's push this forward to a betting standpoint, though, because last week we had a great conversation. We took a poll on Twitter, which we're going to continue to do, by the way, throughout the course of the summer, on who would be the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs for the Super Bowl. Let's do that for these AFC divisions and who would be the biggest threat for last year's division champions, especially considering all of them are favored to do so again. And let's start there in the AFC East, where the Miami Dolphins should have won the division last year for the first time since 2008. But instead, the Buffalo Bills come through the back end of the season when the Dolphins faltered to win their fourth straight. Buffalo plus 170, the New York Jets plus 190, the Dolphins 2-1, and then the Patriots, the long, long shot at 25-1. Who is the biggest threat to Buffalo?
I think it's the Jets. I think just looking at the Tua picture, it's the Jets. We know that Miami has a lot of questions defensively. Who's going to be the starting corners, right? Cam Sutton, who they drafted in the second round. Xavier Howard's gone, right? The receivers are dynamic, don't get me wrong. And they've got speed in the backfield with Achane and Morissette and all those guys. I mean, they're really talented. But their quarterback, just looking at him there, can he stay healthy? Yeah. If they've got to go to Mike White, oh, no. Look, the Jets, we call them the ifers for a reason, because if they stay healthy and if Aaron Rodgers can be the player that he was 3 years ago, not 2 years ago, his last year in Green Bay, they have a chance because defensively they can play from in front, right? They can, the offense can get the lead. They've got a really good running back in Bryce Hall. They're at Brees Hall. They're able to control that. If the line starts to, at least all these ifs I'm giving you, but I don't see it with Miami. I just don't. That body, you can't hold up over 17 games with a body that looks like that. You're going to look, one thing we know about quarterbacking, it's all your lower body. That's why you run the, that's why baseball pitchers run the outfield. You know, Lamar, as you mentioned, going down in weight, he's still a big man, and he's got, and his, he's trying to improve his quickness. Mm-hmm. Where's the power in Tua? How's he going to handle a hit? I mean, I don't see it. To me, I think at plus 200, I think it's a, to me, I don't see it.
Yeah.
Just by the way he looks, I think it's a two-team race. I really do.
That plus 190 price on the Jets, by the way, has been a popular pick. But we mentioned Lamar Jackson, so let's go down that road in the AFC North. The Ravens won it last year, the best regular season win total in the NFL. The Bengals are the second shortest shot, plus 145, who finished last in the division last year. The Browns, 6-1, and the Steelers, plus 850. Who's the biggest threat to Baltimore?
Well, I think it's the Bengals, no question, because they're back. Joe Burrow's, they've gone into Kansas City, won a game. They've gone there. Look, Steve McAdoo does a wonderful job for us. And again, you should get the, you should join DeVeason. You get 13 months for the price of 12. You get the week, Bill Ady's week morning newsletter is worth the price of admission. Use the promo code Lombardi. But his projections for the Steelers, he has them at 7.6 wins. His projection for the Ravens is at 10.8. They're the Steelers are at 8.5 on DraftKings. The Ravens are at 11.5. So that, there's a lot of projections on the under here. I think the Bengals, assuming they can get this offensive line squared away with Geno Smith, Von Bell coming back to play safety, their corner situation should be improved. I think they have a chance to improve themselves defensively, and Burrow gives them a chance, with assuming T. Higgins signs his tender, to be really good offensively.
In the AFC South, the Houston Texans shocked a lot of folks going from worst to first, and they are a favorite now coming off of that playoff win and the stud young quarterback they have in C.J. Stroud, plus 105 in the AFC South. The Jacksonville Jaguars are the second shortest shot at plus 275, but I know you are not a believer in the Trevor Lawrence experience. Is it the Colts then that would be the biggest threat to Houston? I know Elliot would like to hear that.
You know, I'm just look, they're a completed pass away from getting that, winning that game, and Houston not making the playoffs, right? Gardner Minshew, they played most of the year with Gardner Minshew. Latua, they drafted in the first round. They tell me he looks extremely good and that he can be a good rusher for them, instinctive, and can give them pressure from the outside, which they need. You know, and with Richardson, if he stays healthy, the way they move the ball, they can run the ball. I like Steichen. I think it's for plus 310, I think it's worth a play. You know, the Texans have a target on them right now. I mean, everybody is going to come after them. Everybody sees them. Everybody has studied them. They can't come back out and do the same things they did last year. They're going to have to find a run game this year, and Damian Pierce or Joe Mixon are going to have to really contribute to that. And obviously, Stroud's a very good player, and they've got good skill players. They have five legitimate receivers that can get into a game, counting the running back and Dalton Schultz, the tight end. So I have no hope for the Titans at 10-1 because I'm not buying Levis. Levis is going to have to show it to me, put it in my face, rub it in my nose, convince me not 1 week, not 2 weeks, but 4 weeks before I'm going to give in on that one.
Last but certainly not least, the two-time defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs are an odds-on minus 225 division favorite in the AFC West. Is there a team that's a legitimate threat this year to Kansas City in the division, or do you just lay it and say they're going to continue the streak?
I think the Chargers are plus 300. Look, they have Herbert. They're going to be better and tougher. Right, there's an added bonus you get with a coach, and if you just study history and you pay attention to Jim Harbaugh's career, he's always improved teams his first year he goes in there. I think he'll improve the Chargers. Look, the Chiefs are not, as I wrote about, they're not running away with it. They're so talented. There's other teams that are as talented. Now, look, they got the best quarterback in the league. I'm not denying that. But it'll be hard every week, and their schedule is so unorthodox that it's going to be a challenge.
Chargers win.
The other two, I don't see it. I don't know how the Broncos are behind the Raiders. I really don't.
Chargers win total set at 8.5, and it is juiced to the over. So the market agreeing with a lot of those expectations. You gave us two potential worst to first candidates, by the way, in the Los Angeles Chargers and the Cincinnati Bengals. As of this morning, the wide receiver market has been reset. We will discuss that deal and more when we come back for hour two.